This morning, if you have your Bible, would you join me in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. And I'll give you a moment to get your hands free. Jeremiah chapter 8. And we'll invite the kids in before we are done this morning for their monthly drawing, for their little time they get an opportunity to have their name in a drawing if they can remember the previous week's Bible point. So we'll have a little drawing for them. I get a $25 gift card for them. And so there's an opportunity to hopefully be a little reward for them. But ultimately, the greatest reward is getting God's word in their heart. And man, what a blessing, what a testimony to know God at an early age and just serve him all the days of your life and not have to get into sin or a bunch of mess. And thank God he rescues out of our mess, but thank God for grace to keep us out. We don't have to go that path. So let me join you in Jeremiah chapter 8 myself, and we'll make our confession together, okay? So the words are on the screen. We invite you to join us as we make this confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. These words in Jeremiah 8 were from the Lord written to the nation of Judah, who would experience the consequences for just continued rejection of God and his word. Jeremiah had a hard calling in the sense that he basically shared God's warning with his nation for 40 years, for a generation, and still the people refused to come back to the Lord. This is what it says in Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning of verse 2. It says, they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven, which they have loved and which they have served and after which they have walked, which they have sought and which they have worshiped. Notice there is they love, serve, they follow, they worship. It was all their affection were given to idols. And it says, I want to stop right there just a second. Because the people loved and served idols rather than the God who loved them. And they chose to, an idol basically is when we look to something or someone to give us what God offers by his grace, like his peace, his security, forgiveness, unconditional love. That doesn't come from an idol. That comes from a living God. And so he gave them a warning in love. And then verse 9, if you drop down to verse 9, it says, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? If we reject the wisdom of God's word, we reject wisdom. We forfeit the wisdom that we could have. Wisdom is a prized possession. Don't we need the wisdom of God in every area of our lives? So he says that you've rejected, you walked away from my word and wisdom walked away from you. And then verse 11. And this is really a sad part to me because Jeremiah was like a lone voice. And even so many of the religious leaders were giving the people false hope by comforting them in their sin. So he says in verse 11 to these prophets and priests and Levites, he says, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. That word means superficially. Have any of you ever heard of a phrase like putting a Band-Aid on a cancer? So they had an issue in their heart of sin, and instead of just, well, let me keep reading the verse here. They told the people, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So say, instead of addressing the sin, turn from your sin to the Lord who loves you. He's abundant in mercy. He'll forgive you, and you can follow his path and be blessed and be wise. But instead, they rejected, and they chose like it says that would come in the last days, spiritual leaders who would tell them what they wanted to hear and scratch their itching ears rather than speaking the truth that can change us and free us and strengthen us and heal us. So the people that Jesus said there would be much deception in the days before he returns. Here's an important truth. Deception leads to destruction. Deception leads to destruction. And the people repeatedly, if you ever read the book of Jeremiah, the Lord's charge against them was, my people have forsaken me. Here's how the road of forsaking God begins with compromising our commitment to him. We start making a compromise here, and I'm not talking about with person, okay? I'm not talking, so you got to compromise with your spouse, I hope, maybe brother, sister, coworker, neighbor, whatever it may be, sometimes to get along and for the greater good. But I'm talking about compromising with the devil. Would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them, don't compromise with the devil? So, but if we begin to compromise a little bit, we don't know where that path may lead us. And these people at one point in their history said, the Lord, he is God. They said, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to follow him. But then they began to compromise and they got so far away, they worship and serve idols. And God said, you've forsaken me and I'm trying to draw you back, but they wouldn't listen. So here's the title of the message this morning. You'll see where it comes in. It's just two words, all in. All in. To give our all, to be fully committed to the Lord, to be all in. And I want to read just a couple more verses, a few more here in Jeremiah 8, and then we'll go to the book of Exodus. But all in, being all in for the Lord. Jeremiah 8, verse 20. Would you look at that verse, please? It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Verse 21 reveals the heart of a loving father who grieves when his sons and daughters go astray. He says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Jeremiah shared his heart. Astonishment has taken hold of me. And then this verse here, verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? There's an implied answer. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? I was thinking about balm. I guess it was either, I think it was last night, of like, what is a balm? B-A-L-M. And then I remembered, I got some Burt's Bees that I keep in my briefcase and I need it sometime when the sun is really baking. I get my chat, or if I'm out in any kind of wind. This is called lip balm. And I'm gonna put a little on right now. Balm from Gilead was considered to be a soothing, fragrant, healing ointment. And God asked, you've got deeper, the priests are just putting something on the surface, giving you peace. You've got deeper issues that I want to heal and deal with, and there is a balm available. It's not just going to go on your skin, it's going to go in your heart. Yes. Is there no balm? I want to just say this morning, yes, there is a balm, and there is a great physician who heals the sin-sick soul. Yes. There is a balm, and thank God that Jesus, he forgives. He doesn't free us to sin. He forgives us, cleanses us, and frees us from sin. Yes. And thank God that he does. And he restores us to a close relationship with the Father so that we can be close to him. Jesus paid for the cure for our sin, the cleansing and the cure for our sins by his suffering and death on the cross and by his victorious resurrection. And Jesus is Lord. And he heals in spirit. He heals in emotions, he heals in memories, and he heals in bodies. He heals relationship. He is the great physician, and there is a healing balm in Gilead for anyone who's willing to receive. All in. All in. Now would you turn to Exodus chapter 8? Exodus chapter 8. And I want to just show you these compromises that Pharaoh offered to Israel, because I believe they're a picture of the compromises that the devil still offers us today. While you're turning, let me give you this verse. It's 1 Peter 5:8. And maybe you'd be willing to think about this verse with me and meditate on it this week. I've started over the weekend. It's 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. That means be sober-minded, be vigilant or alert. Why? Because your adversary, notice that's personal. He's your adversary. The devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But you see, to devour us, he has to first deceive us. That's why I say deception leads to destruction. If he can deceive me into believing something and living in a way that is not in line with God's will, then I'll put myself on a bad path. This week, I went to Brittany's to work a couple days there. I just took the laptop. And one day I did something in the yard. And if you come out of her back, like where her carport comes around to the back of the house, she parks in the carport and there is a handrail, a banister, and stairs go down to a separate entrance in the basement, like someone if they had like a basement apartment. I don't even know why I necessarily looked over. I looked over and you know how like on a threshold, sometimes there's like a metal strip and then it might have rubber underneath and it looks like the rubber might be coming a little bit loose. So I looked over there and saw it and then I went on inside. And I got a shower and that evening I went out for a walk. I was going out on a walk and I said, let me just look over here. And so I didn't have my glasses, I had sunglasses on and I looked over and I saw something. I went back, I said, Brittany, come here quick. She came on over, I said, is that a snake down there? She looked over, yep. I said, give me the key to the shed and watch that thing. She said, I don't think he's going anywhere. I said, I don't want him getting in the basement. So I had to go get something to try to get him out. But then on my walk, I thought, now I'm not saying the snake is the devil, all right? But isn't that how he looks for those whom he may devour. And if he can sneak into our thoughts, if he can sneak into our relationship, if he can sneak in, all in. Be sober-minded, be vigilant. We got to be watchful and be alert to his working. Here's the first compromise, Exodus chapter 8. I will give you what the compromise is and then how we overcome it, all right? Four of these real quick. Exodus chapter 8, this is the first compromise, verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go, in other words, don't leave just yet, because remember Moses said to let my people go, what the Lord said. And he said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. And if we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? Here's the first compromise, is don't leave. Don't leave my kingdom. And don't leave under my authority. Don't leave my domain. Now, you can go ahead and sacrifice in the land. If you want to be religious, go ahead and have your little religion. Go ahead and say your little prayer. Go ahead and maybe go to church every once in a while. Let people think you're a religious person or spiritual person. But don't leave my authority. Don't leave my kingdom. And don't come out from under my domain. That's the first compromise, is don't leave. The devil doesn't care if we're religious, as long as we stay under his authority and in his kingdom. There are two kingdoms. There is a kingdom of darkness and there is a kingdom of light. So the first compromise is don't leave. And God says, or the scripture says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or as it's also translated, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, would you say that with me? Jesus is Lord. And it's not just enough to say it, because we can say anything, but we also must believe in your heart. That's the key, that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. So the key to overcoming this first compromise of not leaving is I've got to believe in my heart under the conviction and drawing of the Holy Spirit that the testimony of God's word is true. He is holy. I have sinned. My sin separates me from him, but he loved me and gave his son to die on the cross to pay for my sins. And he arose from the grave 3 days later, and I'm going to believe in him as Lord, and I'm going to receive his forgiveness, and I'm getting out of that kingdom into his. Believe. Would you say believe? So when he says, don't leave, God says, believe. And now here's the second compromise, verse 28. The scripture says, so Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. The first compromise is don't leave. The second compromise is don't go far. He said, don't go far. You just stay nearby. If you become a Christian now, I know you're not in my kingdom and I'm not your Lord, but I can still influence you. I can still have my way in your life. You just don't go all in for the Lord. Be a half-hearted Christian. Keep your faith to yourself. Don't try to point anyone to Jesus. Don't try to be a testimony. Don't try to glorify him. People are going to call you a religious fanatic. Let people just like you and accept you and love you and just live that way. All in. All in. Do you believe that family or that, especially the couple, the husband and wife in that video, were they half-hearted? All in. Let me ask you this. Was Jesus half-hearted for us? Talk about all in. Leaving heaven's glory with the Father and having angels and all creation worship you nonstop and clothe yourself in a human body to be misunderstood, abused, rejected, mocked, scorned, and crucified and suffer and experience the hell of separation from God in our place. That's all in. Jesus said this in Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So don't go far. No, we're all in. And I'll say it like this. The Jesus was all in. He was fully committed to save us by his grace and with deep gratitude. I want to emphasize that. We must have the Lord to help us be all in for him because we're challenged with the compromise every day. Where are we going to compromise our faith? Where are we going to compromise our integrity? Where are we going to compromise our purity, our character? Every day we're hit with that. So it's always by God's grace and in deep gratitude, Lord, I want to be a grateful man all my life. I want to live in gratitude to God because of his goodness to me. I don't know how many years, days, whatever I may have left in this life. And to me, I've gotten to where it doesn't really matter. I want to live, I want to serve God, but God has already blessed me so much that I could never thank him enough. And so I just want to be, I want to live, and I sense it. I sense my own weakness, and I sense my own struggle sometimes with compromise, maybe even in an attitude or what I might say. And I want the Lord to help me by his grace. I want to trust him more that every day of my life for his glory, I'm going to be all in just response to his goodness and love to me. So all in to love him with everything, as this scripture said that Jesus quoted. And you know what will happen if we do that? We'll live fruitful lives that will glorify God now, and we'll reap the benefits forever. All in. All in. Would you say it with me? All in. Would you turn to chapter 10, Exodus chapter 10, third compromise. So don't leave, believe. Don't go far, all in. Here's the third compromise. Chapter 10, verse 8. So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, Go serve the Lord your God. And who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons, our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. And he said to them, verse 10, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Verse 11, not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired. And they were driven out from the presence of the Lord. Here's the third compromise. Leave your children. Don't leave. Don't go far. Leave your children. Boy, do we sense that today? Leave your children. See, the devil wants to fill the hearts and minds of our sons and daughters with the ungodly beliefs and values and lifestyles of this world system of his kingdom. And so there is that battle. And I really like to emphasize this. Satan uses culture to disciple his followers. That has really stood out to me this week. Everyone is a disciple. We're not all disciples of Jesus, but everyone is a follower. Disciple really means learner and follower. So who are you following, really? Who are you learning from? So the devil, he has his disciples. The scripture says in the New Testament that we're not to be amazed and wonder that some who are ministers of unrighteousness can transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, because even Satan transforms himself into what? An angel of light. So just leave your children. And this is what the scripture response for that is. How do we overcome that tendency or that compromise? The Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, and you, fathers, and of course it applies to moms as well, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up. Would you say that with me? Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The devil says, leave your children. God says, lead your children. Don't leave them. Lead them. And if we live in obedience to God's word, we will be good role models for them to follow. I did not say perfect, because we're going to have our times where we get an attitude or whatever it might be. We're not called to be perfect per se. We are called to be genuine. We're called to be real. And I can do this. Brother Mark, did you pray earlier, or Gary won, about taking us from glory to glory? Yeah. Because I can do this. And even though Brittany is not a child, I hope I did it when she was coming along, that I'm following the Lord myself. I'm on the path with him. And it's an uphill climb. And sometimes it's a winding, like a spiral staircase. And you might think you're going in circles, but if you're following Jesus, you're still going up. So I can take a step to follow the Lord, and I can hold her hand and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And keep going and just live by example and lead by example. And ultimately, she, like all sons and daughters, must choose for themselves. Either I'm going to follow Jesus or I'm not. And we can't make that decision for them, but I'll tell you what we can do, and let's not underestimate it. We can fight for them in prayer with faith in the God who changes hearts just like he changed ours. Because that's where those strongholds are going to be broken over the hearts and minds to set captives free. God is still alive and well, and he is able. There is a balm, and there is a great physician who sets the captives free and heals the brokenhearted and restores. Some of us have a testimony that I wasn't always following the Lord like I am now, but he didn't give up on me, and I got to believe someone. I know my mom, my parents were praying for me. And those prayers weren't wasted. So let's continue. We'll bombard the throne of grace, not fight them as much as we fight for them in prayer for God's will to be done in their lives, in their hearts and minds. So don't leave. Don't go far. Leave your children. And then the fourth and final one, Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. Exodus chapter 10, beginning of verse 24. This last compromise said, then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. Here's the last compromise. If I can't keep you from leaving my kingdom and my authority, then, and if I can't keep you from going all in for Jesus, and if I can't keep you from trying to lead your family and others, grandchildren, anyone to the Lord, then leave your money under my control. So leave your children, leave your money. He said, you can go ahead and go now. Go ahead and take your kids, but you leave your finances. Leave all your flocks, all your herds. You just leave all that in my kingdom. You fund and promote my kingdom and my values, and I will enslave you in such debt that it will stress you out. It will rob you of rest. It will cause tension in your relationships, and I'll use it for my glory. That's quiet. Let me keep reading. The Bible says, verse 25, but Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. The devil said, leave your money. And Lord says, use every penny for me. I'm not leaving a penny in God's kingdom. Now, you know, we live in the real world. I'm talking about funding values that are not of God and using it all for the glory of God. The Bible teaches that it all belongs to the Lord anyway. So how do we overcome the compromise to leave our money? Maximize God's resources. Make the most of what God entrusts to us. Let me read you these words again from Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and beginning in verse 20. The Bible says this, Matthew 25, 20. We have it on the screen. So he who had received 5 talents, that was an amount of money, came and brought 5 other talents saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. I love the way that it's expressed because I just sense the joy in those words. It's like, Lord, you gave me this much to work with and I took it and did something with it. Now here I'm looking forward to showing you what I did. I want to show you what I did with what you entrusted to me. Wouldn't that be great if we had that about, it's not just money, it's about everything. To not just manage it, I like the word maximize. Make the most of it. So then he says in verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So if everything belongs to God, let's seek to maximize everything, every opportunity that God entrusts to our care. So can I maximize the time God gives me? Of course I can. That's a resource, isn't it? The relationships that God has blessed me with, can I try to maximize those? Can I try to maximize opportunities? And yes, money as well. Use it for the glory of God to advance his kingdom. I believe we can. I won't have to ask, maybe just between your heart and the Lord. Do you see how Satan is still offering compromises to us today that are recorded in God's word of how Pharaoh offered to God's people to say, you stay in my kingdom, don't leave, or just stay close, or let me just have your children, let me have your money, your resources, and God says no, all in, all in. So maximize God's resources. If you want to write these last two verses down, I'll read them to you because I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. For he, speaking of Jesus, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Thank God he rescues us from Satan's kingdom and transfers us to live in the light and the love of his kingdom. If you're in the kingdom of darkness today, you can come out today because there is a great physician who will take you from that kingdom of darkness and death and destruction where it's headed and place you in his kingdom of light and love and give you a brand new beginning and be involved in every aspect of your life and be with you in time and you be with him through eternity. All in. Thank God, the great physician has a freeing, healing balm for compromise. Believe, B. All in, A. Lead, L. Maximize, M. There is a balm in Gilead. There's a balm in the kingdom of God, and there is a great physician who still makes house calls. No compromise. All in. Today, I just close with this. Thank God is good. Lord, we want to open up our heart and invite you in to shine on any area that we want to restrict from you. And I pray that, Lord, you would not only reveal it, I pray that you would allow us to submit it and surrender it to you, the one who loved us and gave himself. You loved us, Lord, beyond what language can comprehend, our minds can comprehend. We would, Lord, help us to surrender all to you, not just sing it, but every area, to say, Lord, no off limits. You gave your all for me. I'm all in for you now. But I'm going to ask you to help me by your grace. I know I can't do it alone. I can't make it today without your help. But I want to believe you to empower me to do your will. And I submit to your loving leadership and authority in my life. Use me. May my life be maximized for your glory for all eternity. In Jesus' name.